Warp Pipe Wednesday.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Warp Pipe Wednesday. I'm Russ Lyman.
I'm NES Addict.
What are we talking about this week?
Dude, sir, is there only one thing to talk about?
Well, there's a few things. I know you did a wardrobe change just so you could wear your Blink-182 shirt.
Heck yes, I did. Dude, I've been so freaking stoked all day long. So many group chats with different friends of mine who are Blink-182 fans. And just sharing the new music with anybody I can think of who might enjoy it, as I know you do, Russ. But Blink's back one more time, at least. So what'd you think about the new song?
Well, it's a dual song. I got on Spotify, right? You get two tracks, so you can listen to it. Definitely deep. I didn't get to watch the videos yet. I just heard the songs.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great to have Tom, Mark, and Travis, you know, Bakary and stuff. And I thought they were going to do an EP, and I think it's like 17 songs.
Yeah, it's 17 songs, and I think only one's a joke song. So roughly 16 full-length songs.
Yeah, and I saw the little interview thing you had sent me, too, where they're kind of talking back and forth, and, you know, it's kind of interesting with the new song, how they touch on almost all the tragedies that have struck the band.
Yeah, and
kind of brought them together again.
They get pretty down and deep because, you know, Mark says, we were like, screw Tom DeLonge. If he doesn't like Blink-182, screw him. We'll move on without him, you know. And Tom's sitting there and he's like, don't look at me with those cameras.
true. Yeah, I'm curious. They didn't play any of these songs when you saw them live, right? They just did Edging and that was it, or no?
Yeah, only Edging. So it really makes me wonder if they don't come back around next year and play this new album. That's a lot of touring. I mean, because this last tour was huge. So, and that's one of the things that Tom usually gets hung up on is, I was away from my family for too long. I can't be touring, you know? So we'll see. I don't know.
Especially even with Mark recovering, like, that's a lot of toll on him and vocally and his body and everything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because he got over cancer. And and Travis is about to have a new baby soon. We'll just have to see how it goes. But if nothing else, October 20th, the new CD comes out. And I think it's going to be the CD that I wanted Neighborhoods to be. Even though I do think Neighborhoods is a great album.
Yeah.
When you listen to it, there's like this untangible cohesiveness, lack of cohesiveness that you can't really put your finger on. But myself and Ron Mann from Ron Mann Gaming have discussed this numerous times. And I think it's just the fact that they weren't in the same studio together and they were sending tracks back and forth from LA to San Diego. So while it's a great, I still think it's a really good album. And I think I appreciate it more now than I did when it first came out. I think this will be what I wished that was.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense for sure.
This sounds like a Untitled Part 2 almost.
Right. And don't they have I believe they have a track. Is it an Anthem 4?
3. Yeah.
3. On my head.
Because Anthem 1 was Enema of the State. Anthem 2, the very first track on Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. No Anthem on self-titled. Or Neighborhoods, or Dogs Eating Dogs, and right. Anthem 3.
Nice. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see for sure. You know, I'm excited for it. Love me new, you know, some new pop punk.
Yeah. And like, I think, you know, it was always hard for me because Tom was my favorite member of the band, you know?
With him, yeah, leaving. So then you're like,
I mean, I love Alkaline Trio and enjoy Matt Skiba too, but it just didn't feel right, you know?
Now I'm curious of like, what are all those, like, did he played some of those songs live, right, when they, from 9 and from California?
They played, the only song I can remember them playing was Bored to Death from those two albums.
Right, because it's, you know, that's interesting on Tom's behalf where he has to learn someone else's heart.
Well, I think the reason they throw that in is because they're probably gained some young fans during those years that didn't even know about the previous stuff, maybe until they heard it and kind of dug into the deep backlog, you know?
Right. Which is a little bit easier nowadays since, you know, you'll find them on digital distribution, Spotify, iTunes, or whatever, where you could just, okay, let me, what else they got? And you just easily listen to it. Whereas growing up, it's like, well, I got to go to a CD store and buy their backlog.
Yeah, I did that with Smashing Pumpkins when I was pretty young, like 13, 14 years old. Like, I just kept going back. I was like, all right, I got Siamese Dream. Now I need Gish or, you know, whatever. So
nice.
Until I heard Blink, and then I was done with Smashing Pumpkins.
I will say, on the talk of new music, MXPX released their new album as well, Find a Way Home.
Yeah, I heard that song.
It is out now, so I got the vinyl, and I bought a CD as well. So, but mostly, obviously, I listened to the vinyl once. I haven't opened the CD, but I mostly just listen to it on Spotify while I'm in my car.
Right.
But it's surprising. Like, it reminds me a lot of almost, what the heck is it? Ever Passing Moment, you know, almost that, like, pop it, more poppy. I guess, like, Enema of the State, like, how it's just well put together. I don't know how to freaking explain it.
Like, maybe polished, it was just, like, it was well produced.
Right. But there's a lot of tracks on there where, you know, maybe they're a little bit harder. Okay. Someone said, like, you know, it almost sounds like, what did they say? The Ramones more, or so they have one of the tracks like that, similar to that. What's interesting, though, speaking of the tracks, they have a instrumental track on the album.
Huh. Have they ever done that before?
Never. And I was like, that's so interesting. Like, why not put it to it or whatever? But I was listening to the Mike Herrera podcast, and someone brought up that question there. You know, they're like, it's a great song. You know, why did you end up putting it on the track? And he was saying, you know, it kind of never, you know, they weren't like, oh, let's write an instrumental to put on the CD. But, you know, they were writing tons of music, and it kind of came down to the organizational of how the tracks land on the album. And he was like, almost this instrumental acts as like a bridge from side A to side B.
Okay.
It kind of builds that transition. And they can certainly do that live as well, play it live, where maybe they want to put some other song in the set, and it's like, oh, this is kind of, you know, it's a little breather for them as well, and transitions to that next part.
I feel like track listings are so interesting, and maybe you as a musician, Russ, might understand that a bit better, but like, how does one decide the order of the songs they place them? Is it just like
absolutely
a feel, or?
Yeah, it's, I mean, certainly how you want to, the person you're listening to it, how you want them to feel. And like, maybe when we were playing live, we had a different set list. You know, we always had like our opener. So then when we're putting our CD together, like, you know, we should probably open the CD with this track here.
Right.
Funny enough, I was going back and listening to a lot of Senses Fail.
Oh yeah, I used to listen to them.
And I was like, let me check out some other, you know, maybe I didn't hear a lot of their other albums. So I went to a few of them, and one of them, like the opener track, was like a very slow, not in your face song. And then track two was like, bam. And I'm like, why did they use this as the opening track? Like,
yeah,
I almost would have like put it in, but like, ah, the CD sucks. Like, take it out. Like, you know, you got to catch someone's attention and like, oh yeah, I want to listen to this more. So I'm like, the second track was way better on that.
I feel like AFI used to do that a lot though. Like, they Sing the Sorrow. I feel like Sing the Sorrow is such a great, like, list of songs. The way they ordered those songs was so concise.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm hoping to upload. I still have some tracks from my old band, Saturday Matinee. I wanted to upload to Spotify. We have, like, our last song that we recorded. It never went on an album or anything. So I like to put that onto Spotify so people can hear it. And then coming up soon in the coming months, I'll start promoting again. We do have a Christmas EP that has like five songs. We did an original song and then four covers. It's pretty fun.
Did you do the Blink one? I Won't Be Home for Christmas.
So we did cover that live, but I did not put it onto the CD itself.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And since then, like, so many bands have put out great Christmas songs.
Newfound Glory had a good Christmas song, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Too soon to talk about Christmas. We got Halloween coming up.
That's right.
So yesterday, hey, I was super excited. So I thought we were doing the podcast yesterday. I came
home. Yeah, sorry. I screwed Russ up again.
I'm like, I'm ready. And he's like, I thought we were doing this tomorrow.
Well, because see, what happened was Russ texted me either the day before or earlier. And he's like, hey, I'm going to be going somewhere. And, you know, if we don't do it Wednesday, we can do it Thursday. So I just never heard from Russ. And so I just assumed he wasn't back yet. So I went ahead and got in bed. Plus, I had a headache. And so I sent Russ a picture of me from my bed. And the light blinded my eyes. And I did this.
It was dark. But yeah, I ended up going to the city to see Back to the Future, the musical on Broadway.
Oh, that's crazy. Was it good?
Yeah, it was freaking awesome. I heard about this probably over a year ago. But it was in London only at the time. So I was like, oh, man, I hope it comes to the States. So finally I heard, you know, it's coming to Broadway. So I purchased tickets for me and my wife for our anniversaries coming up this week on the 23rd. So I was like, well, we'll go, you know, Wednesday for like a matinee. You know, this way it's easier to get off from work.
Not a Saturday matinee.
Oh, would have been good. So we got there about noon, and then we ended up going to Joe's Pizza, which was in the Spider-Man movie from Tobey Maguire. I guess he got fired from that pizza place or whatever, but they have like a sign inside for a scene in Spider-Man.
That's amazing.
So we grabbed some slices and then we headed over to the Broadway district there. And yeah, the show was awesome. I got like a little picture. You can't film or take any photos while the play is occurring, but before it starts, you can like do a little photo. Let's see. Did I take a full video? Well, I did like here's a still photo. If you guys are watching on YouTube, there's like there's all these like circuit boards and stuff on the side of the stage. And they all like lit up and were like,
that's sick.
It kind of reminded me of Tron almost. And then on the screen, it was like, you know, no phones or this and that, but you could take pictures of this hashtag, whatever. But yeah, the way they did it was freaking awesome to be on the stage and having the DeLorean on there. And there's a bunch of new songs that they're singing just for the musical. And they did do, you know, the classic hits. They did Power of Love. Johnny B. Goode and all that. They did tweak the story slightly, so it wasn't exactly how it happened in the movie. Like when Marty goes to the mall to meet the doc, the Libyans don't come to attack him. They had Doc put the plutonium into the DeLorean, and then he got radiation poisoning and was like dying.
So oh, God.
Marty gets in the car and goes back in time. But they also added this thing to the car where it was only voice activated by the doc. So he had to be like, car on, time circuits on. So only he can use the car. So then Marty wasn't able to like drive it after that.
Interesting.
So they changed that plot point. There's a few different jokes that were different. But overall, I thought it went through really well. We laughed. We had a good time. At the end, they had the car. They did the whole scene where the doc comes back and then he's like, Marty, you got to come with me back to the future. And they have the car like lift up off the stage and like
sick.
Out over the crowd, like slightly. What? And I was like, yo, I was like, this is so cool.
How'd they do that?
They had to be like a crane arm on like the back of the car.
Okay.
Like lifting it up and then pushing it out. But
because
the stage is black and everything,
you couldn't, like, you couldn't see it.
And I was that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. So I picked up, we got a magnet and I got like a t-shirt. But they had like a vinyl soundtrack of the original music and tons of merchandise for sure.
Oh, wow.
But I was happy we got to see it. And then we ended up actually going back to Joe's pizza place and grabbing one more slice before
one more slice home. One like, more
gotta get that New York slice.
Why didn't you go to Sbarro's?
Sbarro's.
you never watched The Office?
Oh yeah, I don't know why is the scene.
There was an episode where like Michael goes to New York and he's like, "You got to get some real New York pizza," and he goes to Sparrow's.
It's like, nope, can't get that. So that was a good time, and then we have another trip planned. The wife kind of booked this last minute. You guys will be listening to this podcast on that Wednesday. or maybe in the future or whatever, but I'm going this Sunday. We're flying out to Florida.
Sweet.
And we're doing Halloween Horror Nights at Universal on Sunday night. Monday, we're just relaxing at the hotel. And then Tuesday is the Mickey Not So Scary at Magic Kingdom.
Sick. Wave as you fly over South Carolina.
Right. So I'm going to end up filming as much as I can. And that's going to be most of my Halloween special this year on YouTube.
There you go.
So I'll have showcase. Maybe we're going to some haunted houses and we'll show like the scare zones at Universal. And then all the fun stuff at, we're going to be trying. There's lots of like special treats at Disney at the Mickey Not So Scary. And I'm like, oh, I got to try that. Lots of snacky
stuff. Like food?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that,
sick.
That are only, so like, I don't know if you know how this works or whatever, like I'll break it down, but so we bought these tickets. They are completely separate from like going to Magic Kingdom. So we can't go to Magic Kingdom until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon because the party starts at 6 o'clock. The Mickey's Not So Scary party is like a separate thing. Like you would have to buy tickets for, if you have a ticket for Magic Kingdom and you go there during the day, you actually get kicked out of the park by 6 o'clock because it's a different event.
Okay.
And so they'll have special characters come out for the event. Special things like obviously Jack Skellington's going to be there and all that. Ooh. But they have like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch is dressed like Elvis. So you can like meet him and That's take funny. Pictures. But certain snack shops have like different things. So they have like, there was like these, what the heck, vanilla fingers that look like zombie fingers, and they put almonds as like the fingertips.
Oh,
on there.
Nice.
So there's all like cool desserts like that. Me and Steph watched some Disney Channel thing on YouTube, so we made notes of like the desserts we want to try. So I was gotcha. Like, okay, we'll check that. They're like, you know, obviously everyone wants to go to Haunted Mansion, but they're like, the wait time is going to be almost like, you know, 2 hours or something
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
So they're like, don't do that. But one thing they do is when you go into the event, they give you a bag, and then there are stations where you get candy, and the candy's free, and you can go as many times as you want, filling up your bag. So people, I guess, get back to the hotel room. It's just like their whole bed's like filled with candy.
Like gorged on candy.
Right. It's like, well, hopefully you're maybe taking it home and giving it out to kids or something.
There you go.
For Halloween. Save some money that way.
That's right. There you go.
But
smart thinking.
We're excited for that. And they do, they said you could dress up as well.
Okay.
And my friends actually were there this weekend, and he had this awesome Mad Hatter costume, and his wife was dressed as Alice, and it looked great. So we were at Walmart today, and I saw they had these pajamas that were like skeleton.
Okay.
And I was like, I think I'll just wear those, because when we were in New York, I bought a hat. Kind of like this, like a five panel hat.
Yeah.
But instead of the NES Pursuit,
yeah,
it says it has Jack Skeleton's like face on there.
Okay, there
and
you go.
I was like, oh, I could wear that and the skeleton outfit, and
you'll be Jack.
Up. Yeah, I was like, close enough. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on, and then again, I said our anniversary is coming up. Is this coming Saturday, the 23rd? And my friends are also getting married on that day.
That's crazy.
So we're going to their wedding and
saying thanks for stealing our anniversary, you jerks.
Right. When they sent the save the date, I was like, what? I was like, are you kidding me? This is our date. But so they did a stag party a few weeks back. I might have talked on the show about it, but they had two bands play because the groom plays guitar and he was in a few bands. And I got to go on stage and sing Damn It with them. But I put a video together. I edited a video of the whole event. And I had my friend Kevin, who's a graphic designer, do a little cover here. So for a present for the bride and groom, I made this here. So it's, I had to make it like it's a Warped Tour.
That's DVD. Amazing.
So it has both of their pictures on there. That's him and his wife. And then it has the two bands with the track listing and everything. So that's like, I'm going to make this one's for them. And then I got to make six more for the other band members.
That's but so cool, Russ. That's
pretty fun.
So thoughtful. Look at you.
Yeah. This way they can always remember it.
Are you kidding me? Here we go.
Jay left. He made it 20 minutes in without the camera breaking.
I don't. Oh, wait. I came back and then I turned it off like an idiot. I'll be back.
You'll be back.
Just give me a second. I was going to say something and then the stupid camera threw off my train of thought.
I was going to say,
that reminded me. I've considered starting a new YouTube channel.
Okay.
And just covering Blink-182 stuff and maybe music.
Yeah, for sure. What's funny is one of my buddies early days of YouTube, Arcade Regiment is the channel name. His name was Phil, and we did collaborations here and there. And he actually had the show. It was called Pass or Play, and you review a game in 60 seconds or less. And whether you pass on it or play it. And I was a guest on that. And then I asked him if I could take over the series. So if you guys ever seen Pass or Play on the Russ Lyman channel or Bit by Bit channel or what have you, that's where that came from. But he did a full 360 instead of doing video game stuff. He just did all hockey stuff.
Oh, nice.
And his channel like grew pretty big, like doing the hockey stuff. But it was funny because the channel name stayed the same. RK Regiment covers hockey stuff.
That's so funny. I'll have to look him up then.
Yeah, I'll have to send you a link. Like, I don't know if he's still doing hockey stuff, but I could have sworn he was from Canada, too. So I was like, hey, sometimes that works. I'm over here, you know, running four channels.
Yeah.
See what I could do. I do have to upload on 8-Bit Bliss. I haven't uploaded on there. That's my music channel where I do like long bits of music. Someone had left a comment I'll have to respond to, but I have done videos that are like 10 hours long where it's like a black screen and just like, you know, Donkey Kong Country aquatic music for 10 hours with waves,
right?
And Animal Crossing 10 hours with waves. And he was like, it would be helpful if there were no commercials or ads. And I'm like, I don't even know why it's coming up because that channel's not monetized at all. So YouTube's just pushing it in. Like, I'm not getting paid at all for it. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But if I was monetized, I would put no ads on those videos because it's like those are for people trying to sleep. Maybe what do you want an ad coming in 2 hours into the movie or into the song?
That's true.
So I'm like, I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? I will say, I want to give a quick shout out to all our Patreon members who support me on Patreon. This show does cost some money to keep going on here. So Patreon, top tier supporters. Thank you so much, guys. We got Dan and Nicole's, Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Living Good, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, and Retroholics 16 for all the support on this channel and on Russ Lyman and live streams and everything. Much appreciate you guys.
You rock. Jay's
back. You can call into the show too if you want to leave a voicemail. Our phone number is 949-682-9277. That's 949-682-WARP.
Call now.
Pause the podcast. Give us a message. If you can't remember the number, you can remember theweeklywarpipe.com. It's got all the number on there and all our episodes and merch. If you want to support the show that way, we got mugs, t-shirts, I think hats, stickers, magnets, pretty much everything. I got
underwear.
Underwear. Whatever you want, let me know. We'll make it. I think that wraps it up for this. If you want to catch more episodes, every Saturday we do the weekly Warp Pipe, so you can check that out or come back every Wednesday for Warp Pipe Wednesdays.
That's right.
As always, guys, I'm Russ Lyman. Keep your world fun bit by bit.